Thank you. What better way to start the service, because I will be speaking about prayer this evening. I was praying about what it is that I would bring forth. And it seemed like every corner I turned within the last week, I was either reading something concerning prayer or people asking for prayers. And so I thought, I'll do a study on prayer. So I sat in, sitting out on the deck the other morning with my Bible, and I was kind of reading through some scriptures and getting my mind prepared on what it is and what scriptures the Lord might have me to bring forth, because the Bible and Book of Mormon is just so full of scriptures concerning praying and prayer and examples of when they prayed for people and things transpired. And then I got to thinking, maybe it's an admonishment because my prayer life isn't where it should be. I confess to you that I have been slacking off in my prayer life. And as I was doing this study, I got to thinking about the brother of Jared, who is mighty in prayer because they would go to him and ask him to pray to the Lord for things in which that group wanted. And in a place they had pitched their tent by the sea, and they had been there for 4 years. And in the first chapter of Ether in the Book of Mormon, in verse 38, it says, "And it came to pass at the end of the 4 years that the Lord came again unto the brother of Jared and stood in a cloud and talked to him and talked with him. And for the space of 3 hours did the Lord talk with the brother of Jared and chasten him, because he remembered not to call upon the name of the Lord." Now, I don't want to be like the brother of Jared and have the Lord chasing me for 3 hours. I've been chastened to the Lord. My conscience has been bore down within me, and it's not a good feeling if you've ever been there. So I feel for the brother of Jared. So I will get better in my prayer life. And I got to wondering, because that's the way my mind works, that really, what is prayer? Well, I looked some things up, and what I've come up with and boiled it down is it's communication with God. You're making a request or a petition. And that seems to be what I can boil down prayer as being, that we are communicating with God and requesting Him to do a multitude of things, as we requested, as we administered to our brother and sisters, that we ask them to ask God to look down upon them and to heal them and to bless them in a way in which He would see fit. And we pray for people that are ailing. We pray for protection. Some places the Lord says to pray and watch always, lest you be tempted. And in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5, verse 17 and 18, Paul tells them, "Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Pray without ceasing. Well, I'm a true believer in kneeling in prayer. As a matter of fact, this morning when Jim opened in prayer, I was standing in the back foyer. And usually when that happens, I just stand there. Then I got a brother that's hurts all the time and has bad knees, and I saw him hobble over to the table and kneel in prayer, and I felt convicted that I needed to get down on my knees and humble myself before the Lord. Being on your knees and praying is a humble position, that you are giving your will over to God's. But when he says, pray without ceasing, I think of times in when I'm driving in my truck. I have time between jobs that I do from one point to another point. And so several times throughout the day, I pray for people. I pray for my job. I pray for guidance in what I'm doing. It just all depends on what comes to my mind. So I feel like we're always to have a prayer on our heart for one another. I'm going to go to page 164 in the Book of Mormon, 2 Nephi, the 14th chapter. There are times that I suppose I let Satan get into my head. Excuse me. And I know I shouldn't, but it happens to me. So in 2 Nephi chapter 14, verse 11, it says, for if you had hearkened unto the spirit which teacheth a man to pray, you would know that ye must pray. For the evil spirit teacheth not a man to pray, but teacheth him that he must not pray. But behold, I say unto you, ye must pray always, and not faint, that ye may not perform anything unto the Lord, save in the first place ye shall pray unto the Father in the name of Christ, that he shall consecrate thy performance unto thee, that thy performance may be for the welfare of thy soul. So when you get an inkling that says, well, it doesn't matter if you pray, God knows what you want anyway, so why pester him? Because that's what he wants. That's what God wants. He wants us to come to him in prayer. Yes, he knows what we need. He already knows what we need. But he wants us to ask. He wants us to come to him. And Satan knows that. And Satan knows that he has not power over those prayers. So he will teach you not to pray. So never give up praying. Luke 18. I always like to give everybody an exercise in flipping through their scriptures. I'll start at Luke 18, verse 9. This is Jesus, and it says here, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Two examples of people praying. One was thanking the Lord that he was better than the poor sinners that he was around. And the other one just asked for forgiveness. And in the Sermon on the Mount, the example, we call it the Lord's Prayer, but the example of prayer that the Lord gives them talks of forgiveness. After he says amen, he goes in to say that you need to forgive others so that God will forgive you. And then I thought of the Zoramites. We go to the Book of Mormon, the 16th chapter of Alma on page 417. Alma 16, verse 88. That they had went into this land and of the Zoramites, and they observed what was going on. And in verse 88 it says, "Now when they had come into the land, behold, to their astonishment they found that the Zoramites had built synagogues, and that they did gather themselves together on one day of the week, which day they did call the day of the Lord." That's nice. It really is. They were meeting together. And it goes on to say, "And they did worship after a manner which Om and his brethren had never beheld. For they had a place built up in the center of their synagogue, a place for standing, which was high above the head, and the top thereof would only admit one person. Therefore, whosoever desireth to worship must go forth and stand upon the top thereof and stretch forth his hands towards heaven and cry with a loud voice." I can just imagine them standing up high and they've got their hands up towards heaven. And they say, "Holy, holy God, we believe that thou art God, and we believe that thou art holy, and that thou wast a spirit, and that thou art a spirit, and that thou wilt be a spirit forever. Holy God, we believe that thou hast separated us from our brethren, and we do not believe in the tradition of our brethren, which was handed down to them by the childishness of their fathers. But we believe that thou hast elected us to be thy holy children. And also that thou hast made known unto us that there shall be no Christ, but thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that thou hast elected us that we shall be saved, whilst all around us are elected to be cast to be cast by thy wrath down to hell. For the which holiness, O God, we thank thee. And we also thank thee that thou hast elected us that we may not be led away after the foolish traditions of our brethren, which doth bind them down to a belief of Christ, which doth lead their hearts to wander far from thee, our God. And again we thank thee, O God, that we are a chosen and a holy people. Amen." And now it came to pass that after Om and his brethren and his sons had heard these prayers, that they were astonished beyond measure. For behold, every man did go forth and offer up the same prayers. Very odd indeed. That they knew that God was the same yesterday, today, and forever. But they didn't believe in his son, Jesus Christ. And they had pride in their hearts and they held themselves up. Let's flip over to page 144, the 18th chapter of Alma. 444. I don't know what I said. This is Alma, and he's talking to his son, Shiblam. And he talks to him concerning the Zoramites. And in verse 14, he says to him, "See that ye are not lifted up unto pride. Yea, see that ye do not boast in your own wisdom, nor of your much strength. Use boldness, but not overbearance. And also see that ye bridleth your passions, that ye may be filled with love. See that ye refrain from idleness, and do not pray as the Zoramites do, for ye have seen that they pray to be heard of men, to be praised for their wisdom. Do not say, O God, I thank thee that we are better than our brethren, but rather say, O Lord, forgive my unworthiness, and remember my brethren in mercy. Yea, acknowledge your unworthiness before God at all times. To be humble. To be humble. Not to thank God that we're better than anybody else, or that anybody's better than anybody else. Because when it comes right down to it, we're all sinners. We've all made mistakes of some type in our life. Matthew 6. Matthew 6, starting at verse 5. This is Jesus, and he's speaking and teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. And he says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be that they shall be heard for their much speaking." And I decided, it's probably been several years ago now, that wherever I was at, when I had a meal, that I was going to bow my head and pray. And I don't do it to be seen of people. Sure, there's people that have seen this and not really said anything. And I see other people that pray over their meals when we're out and about in restaurants, not just at the house. And I think that's great. Unless you're doing it to be seen of men. Because if your heart is really in the right place, you are talking to God and you're asking Him to bless that food which you're about to partake of. And whatever else may come to your mind as far as praying over your meals. He also said there, use not vain repetition. Well, I've had a little study also on vain repetitions. So I looked up vain and got several things out of the Strong's Concordance, and I come up with that it's without a cause, self-conceited. So if you're just spouting off words, or that you're asking God to thanking Him that you're better than somebody else, that you're better than the poor sinner, the poor publican, those poor worldly people, I'm glad I'm better than they are. That's self-conceited. And repetitions is just doing it over and over again. So if you're praying and you're praying without a cause, particularly, that maybe you're not praying for somebody to be healed, or praying that you'd be watched over, or that your wives and your children would be blessed. If you're just spouting off air to the Lord, I feel like you're praying without a cause. You have no real intent on what you're praying about. Verse 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask. After this manner therefore pray ye. It's an example of prayers. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You're addressing the person you're speaking to. Whatever manner it might be. Our God, almost kind and gracious Heavenly Father, whatever it might be, how you start your prayer out, you're addressing God. You're addressing the deity that you're praying to, if that's the proper wording. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You know, we need to be praying that things are within his will. You know, I hear people say, if it be thy will. I don't have a problem with that, because that's where our hearts ought to be, even if we don't utter those words, that it needs to be thy will be done. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You know, there are times where I really need to pray and ask the Lord, please keep me from certain temptations at this time, because I know I'm weak. There are other times that I can have a temptation right here in front of me. I can walk away from it. But yet I know myself, and there's other times where it's right there, and if it's right there, I'm probably going to fall to it. So I pray, Lord, give me strength. Keep me from that temptation at this time. Show me a way out. Then go to the book of James. Book of James, in the 4th chapter and in the 3rd verse, it says, ye ask and receive not. Have you ever wondered that you've asked something and you feel like you've not received an answer? That's probably an answer. But in James here, he says, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts, or upon the pleasures that you want. Lord, if I could just win that lottery one time, I could make it. That's praying that you would consume it upon your lust. Because you might be saying in your head, I'll give it to the church. I'll help the homeless out. I'll give it to the guy that doesn't have anything, that stands on the corner day in and day out. But in your heart, you're going to use it for whatever you want, not what the Lord would want. Guarantee it. There's more people that have won millions of dollars in the lottery, and in the long run, they've gone broke. It's a statistic. I'm not advocating trying to win the lottery. I asked a person once, they were standing in line, and I was waiting in line, and I was getting frustrated because they were buying all these scratch-off tickets and this and that and everything else. And so, being me, I said, hey, why don't you give me that $20? They looked at me, and it looked like they were upset. And so I said, if you're going to lose it, at least I can spend it on gas. I didn't get an answer on that one. They just turned around and kept doing what they were doing. But that's kind of the way I feel about it. If you're going to waste it, might as well give it away. And I see people sometimes, and they bring in these scratch-off tickets when I'm in there. Not often, because I don't, you know, spend my days at the counter waiting in line, but it might seem like it. that they're just so overjoyed that they've won $20, $50, whatever it is. But if you ask them how much they spent to win that $50, it's probably more than the $50 they won. Places don't get rich, the gambling places don't get rich because you're winning. That's my take on that. But anyway, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Be careful how you pray. Make sure that you're not praying for things that are not in God's will for your life. The 11th chapter of Mark. These are just things that came to my mind as I was putting this sermon together. Things that prayer is for and things to watch out for when you're praying. Because like I said, I need to focus my prayer life. I need to get my prayer life back on track. I don't know about you people. I'm not with you day in and day out. But I know that mine has been lacking. There are things that catch my attention instead of humbling myself before the Lord and praying. Mark 11. Verse 12. Okay, I know where I'm going. And on the morrow, when they were, Jesus and his disciples were traveling around, and it says, and on the morrow, when they were come to Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, and happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, that he is Jesus, when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of the figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Let's go to verse 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus, answering, saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you will receive, and you will receive them. And in another place in the Book of Mormon, it talks about that God will give you the desires of your heart, whether to eternal life or to damnation. So be careful what you pray for, as they say. I remember, it's a little testimony I thought of when I read this verse. Lan and I were traveling in the Northwest. We were supposed to meet another minister and his wife that travel in the Northwest quite a bit. And because they had an emergency back here in Independence at that time, that they had to come back. And Lana and I were on our own. I was scared. But it was something that I knew the Lord was with me and I had been trained for. I had been out before. But we were traveling, and the mountains up there are beautiful. And I don't remember exactly what river it is that the road was going along. It may have been the Paiute or the Salmon. I'm not sure. But anyway, there was these mountains up there and stuff. And I was thinking to myself about this very thing. I was thinking, well, I know God can do it. I know he can do it. There's no doubt in my mind, because God can do anything. And so I thought, Lord, what if I ask that you would take this mountain and cast it off somewhere? And I got an answer. And what he said was, do you understand the destruction that'll take place when I do that? And so I said, forget it. But it came to me that, yeah, that can happen. but it's just not going to happen and everything's going to be okay. You know, it would have caused major destruction. It would have probably been a major earthquake. I don't know how he would have done it. But my thinking was, I have no doubt at this second that God can do that if I ask. And I didn't get chastised for it, but he just said, do you understand the destruction that'll take place when I do it? So we just need to be careful. Just need to be careful. That was a testimony to me to be careful what I ask for, to make sure that it's right within his will for the things that are going on. Page 766 in the Book of Mormon. It's the Book of Moroni, the 7th chapter. One verse. Excuse me. Verse 26 in the 7th chapter of the Book of Moroni. It says, and assuredly as Christ liveth, he spake these words unto our fathers, saying, whatsoever thing ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is good, in faith believing, that ye shall receive, behold, it shall be done unto you. Don't doubt that God can do what we ask him to do. We need to ask it in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. And I have heard this preached from up here that that's not just saying in Jesus' name. It's having an attitude of praying in Jesus' name. Pray for that which is good and have the faith that God can do it. 3 Nephi, the 8th chapter, found on page 651. Third Nephi 8, verse 52. And it came to pass that when Jesus had spoke these words unto his disciples, he turned again unto the multitude and saith unto them, behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye must watch and pray always, lest ye enter into temptation. For Satan desireth to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Therefore ye must always pray unto the Father in my name. And whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is right, believing that ye shall receive, behold, it shall be given unto you. Pray in your families unto the Father, always in my name, that your wives and your children may be blessed, or that your husband and your children may be blessed. Pray over your family. Pray for them. I pray for my wife. I pray for my children. I pray for my grandchildren, especially for my grandchildren, that they might be guided towards Jesus Christ in their life and that they might be watched over. I pray that I might be watched over, that I might be protected. I never know what's waiting for me. Alma, the 16th chapter, page 429. Start at verse 218. Therefore may God grant unto you, my brethren, that ye might begin to exercise your faith into repentance, that ye begin to call upon his holy name, that he would have mercy upon you. Yea, cry unto him for mercy, for he is mighty to save. Yea, humble yourselves, and continue in prayer unto him. Cry unto him when you're in your fields, yea, over all your flocks. Cry unto him in your houses, yea, over all your household, both morning, midday, and evening. Yea, cry unto him against the power of your enemies. Yea, cry unto him against the devil, which is an enemy to all righteousness. Cry unto him over the flocks of your fields, that ye may prosper in them. Cry over the flocks of your fields, that they may increase. I'm not a farmer, but I can imagine a faithful farmer, or if you have a garden, praying over it. Praying that you would have sufficient yield. Pray over your cattle. I don't know, maybe Donnie prays over the few cattle he has, I don't know. But it says that we need to pray over all these things. But this is not all. You must pour out your souls in your closets and in your secret places and in your wilderness. Yea, and when you do not cry unto the Lord, let your hearts be full, drawn out in prayer unto him continually for your welfare and also for the welfare of those that are around you. Pray without ceasing. And now behold, my brethren, I say unto you, do not suppose that this is all. For after ye have done all these things, if ye turn away the needy and the naked, and visit not the sick and afflicted, and impart of your substance, if ye have, to those which stand in need, I say unto you, if ye do not any of these things, behold, your prayer is in vain, and availeth you nothing. And ye are as the hypocrites which do deny the faith. So remember to be charitable also. That your prayers aren't in vain. Therefore, if you do not remember to be charitable, you are as dross, which your refiners do cast out, being of no worth, and is trodden underfoot. The book of Mosiah, chapter 11, page 286. Verse 162. I'm hoping that everybody remembers the sons of Mosiah and Alma that went about trying to destroy the church. Now it came to pass that while he was going about to destroy the church of God, for he did go about secretly with the sons of Mosiah, seeking to destroy the church and to lead astray the people of the Lord, contrary to the commandments of God or even the king. And as I said unto you, as they were going about rebelling against God, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto them, and he descended as it were in a cloud, and he spake as it were the voice of thunder, which causeth the earth to shake upon which they stood. And so great was their astonishment that they fell to the earth and understood not the words which he spake unto them. Nevertheless, he cried again, saying, Alma, arise and stand forth. For why persecutest thou the church of God? For the Lord has said, This is my church, and I will establish it, and nothing shall overthrow it, save it is the transgression of my people. And again the angel saith, Behold, the Lord hath heard the prayers of his people, and also the prayers of his servant Alma, which is thy father. For he hath prayed with much faith concerning thee, that thou mightest be brought to the knowledge of the truth. Therefore, for this purpose have I come to convince thee of the power and authority of God, that the prayers of his servants might be answered according to their faith. And now behold, can you dispute the power of God? For behold, doth not my voice shake the earth? And can ye not also behold me before you? And I am sent from God. Now I say unto thee, go and remember the captivity of thy fathers in the land of Helam and in the land of Nephi. Remember how great the things he hath done for them, for they are in bondage, and he hath delivered them. And now I say unto thee, Alma, go thy way and seek to destroy the church no more, for their prayers may that their prayers may be answered. And this, even if thou wilt of thyself be cast off. The angel appeared unto Alma to straighten him out because of the prayers of the people and because the prayers of his father. Now we've got many that have gone astray and left the church, and I'm not saying that they're out there trying to destroy the church, because I know of none. But don't forget them in your prayers. Because even if it takes an angel of the Lord to appear unto them, it's better that they would have that opportunity to know of a surety that these things exist and that people have been praying for them than for them to be cast out to hell. Because of the prayers of the people. And we meet together off to pray for people. We meet at least, I know, once a month for sacrament services, and we have Wednesday night prayer services, and we have a lot of time to pray as a group of people, not just as individuals. So never doubt the power of prayer. You know, I think of Enos also. Enos is one of my favorites to read. I'm not going to read it, because he went into the wilderness to hunt. I like to hunt. There's a lot of time being a hunter that you have a lot of downtime if you're sitting in a stand. So I try to remember what Enos did was that he prayed for himself that he might have salvation. He wasn't praying in vain repetitions for himself. He was truly concerned for his soul's welfare. And when he got an answer that he wanted, that it was okay with the Lord, I'd have to go read it. This is the gospel according to Mark. And then after he got that, then he started getting concerned for his brethren, the Lamanites, which weren't believers. And so he started praying for them diligently, and he prayed into the night. And I remember that sometimes when I'm out there and I get bored waiting, that I pass the time in prayer. I try to remember the example that Enos set. So I'd like to close with a prayer by Helen Steiner Rice, and it's entitled On the Wings of a Prayer. Just close your eyes and open your heart, and feel your worries and cares depart. Just yield yourself to the Father above, and let Him hold you secure in His love. For life on earth grows more involved with endless problems that can't be solved. But God only asks us to do our best, and then He will take over and finish the rest. So when you're tired, discouraged, and blue, there is always one door that is open to you. And this is the door to the house of prayer, and you'll find God waiting to meet you there. The house of prayer is no further away than the quiet spot where you kneel and pray. For the heart is a temple when God is there, and we place ourselves in His loving care. And He hears every prayer and answers each one when we pray in His name, Thy will be done. The burdens that seem too heavy to bear are lifted away on the wings of a prayer. Thank you.